This bonus episode is a skincare special brought to you by And Begin, personalised skincare for women in midlife.
So, young Trishy, this is a special bonus episode for season 11 of our podcast. Before we take a little break between seasons, snook this one in, didn't we? So while I've got you,
yeah.
I want to run something up your flagpole, mm-hmm. my friend. It's a little bit of a biggie, actually. I'm going to be asking for your advice. And it's kind of in the context of a chat we had recently about midlife challenges. And also when we interviewed the amazing Antarctic Fire Angels about their trip across the pole. It's about getting out of comfort zones and all that. So something I've wanted to do for a while,
mm-hmm.
but it's taken a bit of time to settle in my mind.
Okay, a bit nervous because I know you're already doing the silly swim. So do fire away, because of course I'm always here for advice for you, all the big stuff, as we know. And I mean, I'm impressed you've got another 2024 challenge, because I still haven't landed on mine. But anyway, I'm all ears. Off you go.
I was chatting to a friend of mine who's leaving her job after 18 years, and she's really senior in the civil service, and she's one of the few women actually to do her job. She has floated the idea of getting a tattoo.
Oh, okay. Okay.
To mark the end of sort of one part of her life and the, you know, the beginning of the next part of her life. So this is a little bit out of character for her, because she's been in such a corporate environment for so long. And I think it's a bit rebellious, which Gen X are. I think it's probably why the tattoo appeals. And she also said she wanted this kind of pause before beginning her next thing. So she's going to do a fitness challenge, something involving a mountain, I think.
Okay.
She said she was going to do the tattoo before the challenge, because that's out of her comfort zone. And if she had the tattoo, she would look at it and it would remind her of all the things she'd already achieved in her life. So brace yourself, young Trish. I am thinking about getting a new tattoo before I do my 15K. Did I say 15K? Silly Isles swim challenge in September. But the quandary.
Yeah.
Is what should I get?
Oh.
So as I was chatting to my friend, and she's a bit younger, she's sort of in her late 40s, I realised I actually do know what I want my tattoo to say now, and I want to run that up your little flagpole.
Well, I'm intrigued. Well, first of all, you're getting a tattoo. The decision is made. I mean, that's quite amazing. My prudish alter ego, Marion, she'd probably say, what's you've gone mad. What on earth are you thinking about? I have to say, even me, prudish me, they are getting a bit more appealing, this idea of a tattoo. And especially after reading some of the posts on the Facebook group, because that's always so inspiring. They've kind of planted a little seed. These might help you decide what you want and get nearer to committing, I think, Lorraine. So Adina said, I had one done on my wrist 2 years ago. It says, oh, the places you'll go, from the Dr. Seuss book.
Oh, I quite like
that. Quite sweet, isn't it? And then Louise has said, this is impressive, love my tattoo. Had it done when I was 55. My son came with me. Will you take Henry?
No, he won't come. He's not going anywhere with Morag having a tattoo.
No, he won't.
Literally the most embarrassing thing in his whole life.
No, exactly. Angela says she drew a honeybee, as she's a beekeeper, and the tattoo artist suggested cherry blossom as well as the bee. And I had it on the front of my shoulder so I can see it every day, as I'm only having one. She's only having one. So there you are. There's a few ideas. Is that going to help you commit, do you think?
Well, I have been doing research, because as you know, I need to ask 1,000 questions before I do absolutely anything. And I've been reading about all the midlife women who have a huge enthusiasm for tattoos and piercings. The Telegraph had a big piece on it, and there was a woman who had the number 42 tattooed on her ankle to remind her of the amazing 42 years she'd survived and the hell she'd been through. That really made me laugh. And in the piece, there was a jewellery brand that said they'd seen a 280% increase in women having piercings since 2019.
Yeah.
Older women, Trish. It's a way of marking a significant milestone. And I think midlife wasn't a milestone, but now it is a milestone.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite a big thing to mark. And I was thinking, you know, I had 30 years career in publishing. That all stopped. Didn't really mark the end of it, just move straight into the next thing. I mean, who knew that I would be a podcaster and write a book? I had no idea. So I feel like this tattoo might mark the next.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I think making a success of this podcasting lark has come as a bit of a surprise to both of us, hasn't it?
But it's a shock, quite frankly.
You're spot on about midlife and new beginnings. And it isn't just tattoos, as you mentioned, there's piercings as well. But have a listen to some of these midlife adventures from our listeners. So Danny said, I joined circus school and learned aerial hoop.
I'm just thinking about my pelvic floor.
I can see that being your 2025 challenge, Lorraine, after the swimming. Yes, but Danny continues, apart from being amazing fun, it's great for building muscle. Like that. And then Fiona said, I've had my head half shaved. She's had a big undercut on both sides, and she's looking to do her first triathlon this year, and she got an inflatable kayak for her birthday. That's quite a new beginning, isn't it, I have to say. And then Nina, get this, I bought a red sports car and got my nose pierced. I also started standing at the front of concerts.
That's isn't it?
It is. We begin start standing at the front and, you know, getting into it. And then we kind of lurk at
the back.
And now she's back up the front as well. And then Helen, finally, helix piercing. That's the year thing, isn't it? Triathlons, again. So this whole physical challenge is good. And an allotment. There we go. Wow. I love all of those.
I would be hopeless at an allotment. Do you remember the lady that we had we mentioned last week who's taken up open mic comedy?
Yes.
Which I think is braver probably than trekking to the South Pole.
Oh my God.
Quite frankly.
Yes. I'd rather trek to the South Pole.
You would,
yes,
rather.
Exactly. Yes.
Anyway, this sort of idea of beginning again after a pause is something that we've been discussing also with the And Begin team, the midlife skincare brand that we're teaming up with to bring you this extra episode of the podcast. What they're doing, I think, is pretty revolutionary, actually, in the field of dermatology in midlife. We've joined them as ambassadors, which is rather exciting, isn't it, Trit? It's the first time we've ever been ambassadors for anything. And their focus is on age management in midlife skincare. And they're heroing this idea that midlife is not just about our hormones changing and our physical changes. It's also about a really positive and liberating stage of life for Gen X women.
Yeah, and today we'll be interviewing Anne Begin's consultant dermatologist, Dr. Malvina Cunningham, who specialises in skincare and medical dermatology for both the NHS and the private sector, about exactly what skin changes we may all experience as we go through midlife. And we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of ingredients we need as we age. But before we get the lowdown on all of that, let's get back to tattoos, because funnily enough, there was a tattoo artist at the And Begin skincare launch that we went to and did a little talk at. Did that give you the idea for tattoo number two? I know you've already got one, little daisy at the top of your right foot, I think, isn't it? You had that done when you were 20. Did you ever have any regrets about that one? And now you're 56.
Well, I regret that I stopped at the daisy bit of it because I had a huge design that I wanted done.
Oh.
It was so painful. I said to the man, we're done here. That's enough. Thank you very much. I will come back. And I never went back. So maybe that's what's going through my mind as well. Now, I mean, I guess it was a sort of pivotal stage because at 20, that was the beginning of my proper career in newspapers and magazines. And this is another beginning, isn't
it?
I'm in this sort of podcasting stage, and I sort of feel like you do need somewhere you can sort of say, I have actually achieved quite a few things that I'm quite proud of. Got my lovely family, 4 children and all that. Sometimes, though, we just move through these phases, don't we? We don't mark them. So taking a moment to pause is what I'm thinking about. How have your pause moments been, Trish?
Well,
when I say pause, I don't mean pause.
Little fairy like cat pause. Yeah. Not little fairy cat pause. Well, I've been quite fascinated recently and relating it to kind of what I've been through, similarly to you, career ending, you know, emptiness, kids going, all of that, and how I've been sort of feeling psychologically about it all. And I came across this thing called the William Bridges Change Curve, which is really interesting because it identifies what we experience as individuals during change. So you have the ending of what currently is, then there's this neutral zone, and then there's the new beginning. So the first and the last bits are kind of, they are what they are. But the bit in the middle, I think, is the neutral zone is really interesting because it's this transition, and that has to come after letting go. That can take different amounts of time for everybody. And I think it's taken quite a long time for me because I kind of went from the work thing ending, changing, and then straight into the empty nest because the twins obviously both went at the same time. But I'm definitely coming out the other side and ready for the new beginning. But I think I haven't got there yet, which is why I think I haven't got my challenge.
They call that the fertile void.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, I do mention it in my book about midlife. It's that thinking space time and actually taking longer is better.
And I think I've been a bit negative about it, thinking, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And actually it's just sitting with that, isn't it? And,
yeah.
and kind of doing it. I think we do need to know this tattoo.
Wow.
I mean, if you said at the beginning you think you know what it is already, come on, spill the beans.
Well. You know, we were talking in one of our previous podcasts about the Gretchen Rubin 4 personality types.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I came out as the questioner, which is uncannily accurate. Good skill to have, quite annoying for everyone else. I am always asking if something can be done differently or we can look at it in a different way. So I wondered about having the words look again tattooed on my wrist, because obviously that's my front crawl swimming wrist, and I breathe to that side so I can see it. Because I'm always asking, can this be done a different way? So if I have that tattooed there, if I get halfway through and it looks like I'm going to get carried away by the ocean and I'm saying to myself, well, I just can't do this. I just can't do this. I could think, actually, look again. Maybe you can do this. And maybe it will make me think in various meetings and things, you know, look again. If I think I'm not capable of it, or I lose confidence, or I'm overconfident, it's often sometimes the case.
Is it with you? Really? Surprise.
Maybe I will look at it and think, no, hold on a minute. Take a moment and look again. What do you think about that?
Do you know what? I really like that. And I think that's perfect for you. Tricky for me, because I'd have to have it in enormous type, because I wouldn't be able to see it.
Yeah, you have to have your phone type is so big you
it's
can see
huge,
it from Mars,
isn't
can't
it?
You?
Yeah. Right, but question though for you, if you couldn't cope with having a little tiny daisy with the pain threshold, how are you going to get through it? You might just end up with L on it.
Well, times have changed, Trish.
Right.
I've had four children.
Oh, that's true.
I did go through a labour that went on for as long as the Stone Age, quite frankly. So. I think we're all tough now. We're the endurance generation. So I think I could do it. It's just finding the person and the size and making it, you know, because I'm not blind. I was blind. I can now see again in the reversal.
You've gone the other way. Good. Right. Do it. I'll come with you if you need me to. But we do love everybody's and begin moments. So do keep those coming in either on the email, hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com, or on the Facebook group, of course, as always. Right. All that tattoo chat. Very exciting. It's time now to talk about midlife skincare in detail with our special guest, who is and begins consultant dermatologist, Dr. Malvina Cunningham, 43, who's going to be sharing her expertise. Welcome to Postcards from Midlife, Malvina.
Thank you. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Shall we begin with a bit of background? You're a dermatologist who works both in the private sector and the NHS. You've got a PhD in medicine. Can you briefly explain what your work is with our largest organ, the skin?
Yes, certainly. Yes. So I am a consultant dermatologist. I primarily work in the NHS, so that's my big job. So I specialise in all parts of dermatology, but particularly I'm interested in inflammatory skin conditions. So I run a really large centre for inflammatory skin conditions in London. And we see sort of patients with chronic, severe skin diseases such as eczema and psoriasis. And that's the bulk of my work. But then I also wear other hats. So I'm a senior lecturer at university. So I lecture in dermatology as well. And I do a little bit of research in terms of clinical trials. And I'm at Ann Begin. So I'm a consultant at Ann Begin, which I'm going to introduce you to today as well.
We want to focus on midlife women, of course. After the age of 40, I think one of the things that many of us find is that our skin just gets so much drier and we really need hydration. Why is this? What's going on? And how does it affect the ingredients in the products that we should be looking for?
Yeah, so Lou, you're absolutely right. Our skin does get drier in midlife. And actually, probably the biggest effect is menopause. And so we really notice it after the menopause that our skin gets drier. And then it sort of gradually gets drier and drier, unfortunately. Sort of we notice it particularly in our 60s and 70s. And that's when I see a lot of women that see me and they have dry skin, actually even all over the skin. And this can happen irrespective of your skin type. So even if you sort of have a tendency to a bit of oily skin, you can actually start developing slightly drier skin in midlife. And there are a number of reasons for that, but primarily the main reason is really aging. So our skin ages and becomes drier. Now, there are two different types of aging. So you've got your intrinsic aging. That's our biological aging that, unfortunately, we all have to go through. And that's genetically determined. And then we've got the extrinsic aging as well. And extrinsic aging, the most of it is actually UV damage. So sun exposure and cumulative sun exposure over many years. And with that, then the second part is also our hormones. So estrogen that gets depleted postmenopause is really a big influence on aging and on our skin and has lots of different effects, but one of them is essentially drying. So when we actually look at in detail what happens in our skin and why it feels dry or is dry, there's sort of, again, a few things that we can see. So one is our oil glands. So our sebaceous glands that produce oil that keeps our skin soft, sebum gets reduced. So that's why our skin feels drier. We also actually have less capacity to bind water in our skin. So the top layer of our skin, our epidermis, has lots of different molecules in it. And one famous one that we all know is hyaluronic acid. And hyaluronic acid has this amazing capacity to keep water, but that gets depleted as we age. And so our skin doesn't hold that amount of water anymore. And also all the other oils that we find in the top layer of our skin get depleted. So things like ceramides, for example, get reduced. And that actually has an impact on our skin sensitivity, on our barrier. So our barrier is basically the ability of our skin to hold water in so that we don't release water. So that skin barrier gets influenced, and that can also lead to inflammation. And then finally, actually structurally, our skin also gets thinner. So collagen, which is abundant in our skin, is right. part of our dermis, is our skeleton, and that gets depleted again as we age and okay. postmenopausally. And that can lead to thinner skin, drier skin. The biology of our skin changes as well. So it gets quite sluggish. Normally, our skin works really hard and it renews itself. So the skin cells on the top of our skin constantly renew and replenish and shed. And as we age, that process gets much more sluggish right. and we start building up dead skin cells, and that again can lead to dryness. So all of these things together happen.
It's complex. Yes. There's a lot yeah. of
There's
things
a lot
going
of things
on.
Happen. Yes. Yeah, yeah, a lot and in a lot of different layers, and they all interplay. The good thing is we can do things about it. You know, so when we are hitting midlife and when our skin changes, you know, we need to rethink our skincare a little bit. So things like, for example, soaps, you know, which are designed to strip our skin of oil. So, you know, when you wash your hands, they strip oil out of our skin. So, you know, so switch that cleanser, for example, switch it to something gentler, like a, for example, I mean, it depends a little bit on your skin type, but cream cleansers, or if you need a little bit more, cream to foam cleansers, for example, something that doesn't strip your skin and make it feel dry and tight. Things like products that have a lot of alcohol in them. So again, drying the skin. So things like alcohol toners, for example, or alcohol-based toners, again, may not be the best idea, and you may need to switch that as well. And then active ingredients. I mean, lots of people get worried about active ingredients, but actually more than ever, we probably need them at this life stage. We just need to be a little bit careful about them. Maybe the concentrations need to be adjusted, and also we need to adjust the skincare around it so that we can tolerate them well.
Well, there's a lot to take on there, isn't there? So once you hit 40, you're in perimenopause. One is in perimenopause. Your hormones are going up and down all over the place. What is the role of hormones in the skin? So we're talking about the three hormones, I guess, testosterone, progesterone, estrogen. Yeah. You study that as part of your work, don't you?
So hormones play a massive role in our skin. And I think during midlife, the biggest hormonal challenge, of course, to our skin is menopause and perimenopause.
So the dropping of the estrogen.
So the dropping of estrogen and progesterone. And actually in perimenopause, it's slightly different than actually menopause. So in perimenopause, you can get a temporal imbalance in your hormones because estrogen is still around, but you can get a slight imbalance with your male hormones, essentially. And actually, your skin can react slightly differently. So a lot of women at that time may find that their skin gets a little bit oilier and a little bit more imbalanced. So I see lots of women, for example, who start to get adult acne at that point and get breakouts, or your skin can be a little bit more sensitive. We're already starting to experience hot flashes and redness of our skin, but suddenly we develop rosacea and sensitivity. Or if we've had rosacea, that can flare. And also I see women who have eczema that suddenly starts to flare or even psoriasis starts coming on. So all these things can happen in perimenopause. But then that all gets changed and reversed. And actually good things sometimes can happen in menopause. So if you had a tendency towards breakouts, actually, after the menopause, a lot of the
women get clearer
skin. Right. Yeah, or that the rosacea gets better. But then the other things happen, you know, so collagen gets depleted. And actually, there is a good study that shows postmenopausally that 30% of our collagen drops within the first 5 years postmenopausally because it's so dependent on estrogen. And this oil production that I was talking about is also very dependent on estrogen. So again, that reduces postmenopausally. Mm-hmm. So our skin gets drier, it gets thinner. Also, the immune system in the skin can be influenced. Mm. So we have maybe less ability to repair it as well. It gets more sensitive, those kind of things.
Mm. So you mentioned rosacea, acne, eczema, some of the things that can flare up. You know, this can be quite distressing, can't it, at a time when you're already possibly feeling quite distressed. Do you need to go and get help? Do you need to go to your GP? Do you need to see a dermatologist? Or is it something that you can take control of yourself? Yeah. Or do you just think, oh, I've just got to ride it out, and once I get through this, it'll be okay?
No, absolutely not. I mean, so there's lots of help out there. There's lots of tools. And hopefully I'll introduce one of those tools to you today.
Yes.
The Anne Begin brand that I want to talk to you about. There is lots of skincare out there, but it is a bit of a minefield and it's difficult to navigate through it. you know, it'd be amazing if we could all see a dermatologist. Obviously, I'm going to say that, you know, and see an expert that can analyze your skin and actually figure out what's going on and how to help you. But if that's not the case, then there are online dermatology brands now, such as Ambigin, that can help you with these common skin concerns, particularly around midlife, and help you through it.
It's good to know you're not alone, isn't it? That it's okay to ask about your skin and that it will be changing. And some of these changes might be quite big. So you've talked about inflammation. What about stress? How does that affect skin? Because we hear this a lot from our community. They're overwhelmed. They're not getting enough sleep. They're going through the hormonal changes and they're under deep stress. How does that affect your skin?
I mean, stress has a massive effect on skin. Of course, I'm going to say that. You know, any stress, anxiety, even low mood can really affect your skin and can affect it negatively, unfortunately. The brain and the skin are actually completely intrinsically linked, so much so that they actually develop from the same part of the embryo.
I did not know that. Yeah, that's exciting news, isn't it?
Yeah, so much so that actually in our chronic disease clinics in the NHS, if we can, we have a psychologist sitting in to actually help us, you know, manage these patients with chronic disease.
So it's important to take notice of your skin, isn't it? And what's happening? It could be a sign of all sorts.
Absolutely, yeah. When you're stressed, your stress hormones go up. So cortisol is a stress hormone, and that can have a direct effect on your skin. So it can cause inflammation, so your skin can feel red and dry and itchy. It can also increase oil production, so you can actually get breakouts. And again, it can influence your immune system, so you can actually have a difficulty in healing. So all those are linked to stress. And on the flip side, if you have a skin condition that affects you and that affects you visibly, that can, of course, affect your mood and how you feel about your skin. So it's a little bit of a vicious circle. Mm. So, you know, I'd love to prescribe, you know, a holiday to everyone.
Yes. On the handle on the stress, though. That's the key, isn't it? Get a handle on that while you're looking at your skin.
And there's lots of self-help out there, you know. And, I mean, you talked to on your podcast before about these things. So there's lots of stuff out there to help. And it's really important to feed into that.
Because chances are, if you're feeling like that, as you say, it's a vicious circle, and it's likely that you're probably not sleeping well, you're probably not, your diet's kind of gone a bit haywire, you probably haven't got time to exercise, all this self-care stuff as well, which probably plays a part. Exactly. But listen, let's talk about Ambigin. The first product is called The Revolution, which is for use at night. We put it on at night after cleansing before we go to bed. And it's a serum and a cream. It's a really interesting formula. And everybody gets a bespoke, different, personalised formulation. That's what's kind of really special about it. I mean, we even get our names on the bottle, don't we, Lorraine? Yeah. It's lovely. And then you also get the ingredients, the kind of core actives and ingredients on the bottle, so you know what you're getting. I've got tretinoin on mine, which we'd love you to maybe tell us about. But anyway, how does it work? Tell us about it. And how will it improve the user's skin?
So Ambigin is essentially an online dermatology service, and it specializes in bespoke skincare for women in midlife. Okay, so we're using essentially dermatology expertise, and we've connected it or used technology to create these bespoke formulations that have lots of different ingredients in them that are personalized to your skin, and also ingredients that you cannot get over the counters, for which you normally have to see a dermatologist. And we are able, through this technology, to bring it to all women of midlife. And we're a sister brand of Skin and Me. I don't know if for your listeners who don't know about Skin and Me, this is already a really well-established personalized skincare brand. We originally launched pre-pandemic through the need or through the realization that there is a minefield out there, and it's really difficult to navigate through all the skincare and to know what's right for your skin. It's also really difficult to get good advice because there aren't enough dermatologists out there, in the UK certainly not. And also it's cost, of course, and accessibility. So that's where Skin and Me came along, and Skin and Me has been really successful, and we've learned a lot, and we've learned that actually midlife is different. It has specific needs. And so we've created the sister brand that specializes and focuses on midlife skin. So that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. And so we've launched now with our first hero product. So The Revolution, which is, as you say, the serum and a cream. So cream, because yes, it's a nightly serum. So really easy. Once a night you use it. But you've got a serum component in it. So that's all your lovely ingredients that are doing all the work, essentially. It contains a 1-2-3 management system. So essentially what that means is that it's a new way of formulate for midlife skin. So it's based on the types of ingredients, the groups of ingredients that we have in the formulation. So the first group of ingredients are these amazing evidence-based ingredients that you wouldn't be able to get on the high street, essentially. And we formulate those based on your skin and your skin concerns and also the concentrations. And we then combine those with cosmeceutical ingredients. And those cosmeceutical ingredients are there to address all aspects of midlife skin that we're concerned about.
What's a cosmeceutical?
So cosmeceuticals are active ingredients right. that are evidence-based, but that you can get over the counter.
Right.
Okay. So things like peptides, for example, right. or hyaluronic acid. And we've included ingredients that are really quite famous and well-known yeah. and have evidence behind them, and they target aspects of midlife skin, good. Such as hydration, hyperpigmentation, fine lines and wrinkles, you know, luminosity,
all those things we worry about. Yeah.
Exactly. And then finally, that's all combined with ingredients that are there to make this luxurious, hydrating and soothing cream. That's also slightly depending on your skin type. Yeah. So we'll formulate that. And there's lots of amazing ingredients in that as well. And that basically gives us the revolution. And with that, we can essentially treat and address a midlife skin and all the aspects that we've talked about, but also your personal skin concerns, all the common skin concerns women at this stage may present with.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. And you have to, and Trish and I did this, mm-hmm. you have to fill in a questionnaire, take a picture. How does that all work? What are you telling the dermatologist? Because the team yeah. are kind of there as well. Once you've yeah. got your revolution, you're able to ask questions as you're using it as well. Talk us through the questionnaire a bit.
Yes. So it's an online questionnaire. So you go onto andbegin.com, and essentially it's a bit like a consultation with a yeah. dermatologist. Well, it's exactly like a consultation. So it's based on that. So we ask you lots of detailed questions about your skin type, also about your environment, what your skin may have been exposed to, you know, sunshine, etc. And then we ask you about your medical history, because we need that to be able to formulate for you your medication and what you're already using, whether you are already on any medication and what you might be reacting to in the past. And then with that information and 3 makeup-free photos that we analyze your skin in detail, and we formulate freshly a formulation for your skin. Essentially, that then gets shipped out to you and then replenished when it runs out.
And does it take a little while to adapt and get used to it? Because this is going to be different, isn't it? So will people see, maybe experience a little bit of discomfort or redness or what?
Depends. It depends a little bit on the formulation. There are different ingredients, and some of them can be a little bit more irritant than others. But the whole point of this is that it's formulated so that you can tolerate it. Mm-hmm. And that the formulation is also changed with your skin as you need to. And we've added ingredients to soothe the skin and to hydrate the skin at the same time. So we take all this into account so that you have a really good experience.
As a woman in midlife, how often do you review your skincare regime? Should you be doing it every 5 weeks, 6 weeks, every month? Because everything just changes all the time, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, no, it's a good question. And again, this is a really personal aspect, isn't it? It depends. So if you have a genuine skin concern, if you're breaking out or if you have rosacea, etc., I actually will review my patients every 2 to 3 months, sometimes even more frequently, depending on what their needs are. If you don't have any skin concerns, if you genuinely just want great skin, then even just through the seasons, I think I would recommend changing your skin, because you might need something else. You might need slightly stronger sunscreen in the summer, or you might need more hydration in the winter. As our skin changes through the seasons, I think I would recommend it, as well as probably with the decades as well, there'll be major changes. But everyone goes through these changes differently, of course. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, one of the things we worry about in midlife is the fine lines, wrinkles, creepy neck. I mean, is there really anything you can do about these? Obviously.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, I don't mind my lines at all.
Oh,
you know, I think it's
now,
that thing everybody's like, oh, well, it's a life well lived, as long as your skin condition is great. But I think people do worry about, like, the neck, and if you've got sort of sagging and drooping, that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, I think, obviously, there's lots out there. Yeah. I think talking about skincare, I'm going to be really boring here, because we know 80% of external damage on your skin is UV induced. Mm-hmm. So if you can protect your skin from that, and particularly as we age, actually our skin gets even more sensitive to sun damage. Yeah. And so it's cumulative sun damage, more sensitivity to sun damage. If you're caring about your skin, if you're serious about fine lines and wrinkles, then that's the number one. And you want really an SPF with a good UVA filter. So there are newer ones out which have really good UVA range, and that's the kind of thing that I would look for. And then, of course, a good repair cream, a retinoid-based repair cream. So these are vitamin A derivatives, and we all dermatologists talk about them all the time, because they are the most evidence-based ingredient that there is out there for fine lines and wrinkles. So in particular, the prescription ingredient tretinoin that you can get on prescription from a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. That is your holy grail of retinoids, essentially. It's more effective and has more data than any other retinoid behind it, and it has really good data to show that it increases collagen production in the skin and can repair the skin. So those are your sort of two main ingredients. And then you've got your moisturizers that help with hydration of your skin, which will also make it look plumper. You have things like vitamin C and other antioxidants that help work your sunscreen better, but also help protect your skin further from free radicals. Right. And together, all that plus also our internal approach, how we look after our skin from the inside.
So you're saying water.
Yeah. So sleep. I think, you know, we all know no amount of skincare, if you don't sleep or you don't have enough water, if you're stressed and if you don't look after yourself, your skin's not going to look as radiant as it can, you know, if you don't look after yourself properly.
And when the damage is done with the sun, like Gen X, we did a lot of sunbathing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with things like pigmentation, things like that, this is where the Ambigain questionnaire, you can put that information in, can't you?
Absolutely.
And get some advice and help for that.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can sort of get targeted treatment for those aspects, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And just one question pertinent particularly to midlife. Trish and I are taking hormone replacement therapy. Would any of some of the bigger ingredients, the ones, the active ingredients, would you be able to not take them with HRT, or does it have any effect at all? Or?
No, absolutely not. No, you can absolutely take all the ingredients. If anything, that's a good thing.
Bonus, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So there is no restriction as such. Things like tretinoin, for example, the only restriction would be pregnancy, you know, which I think wouldn't be...
No more baby.
Yes, no, exactly. So I don't think, not at this stage. So other than that, yeah, no, you just need to use a sunscreen because you're a little bit more sensitive, but hormone replacement therapy as such doesn't play a role.
Now, one of the things we really like about the brand is it's so convenient. You get that we're busy midlife women. Because you have your online consultation and you get your prescription delivered to your door and it's replenished as well. You can talk to the dermatology team if you have any questions. So it does feel very, very modern. There's only one product now, the Revolution. Is there anything coming next?
Yes, there are more exciting things in the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So we started with our nightly product, but I think there will be products around that routine. So watch that space. So we're currently working on that.
Well, also, for our fabulous listeners, we have we have a special price. You can pay $4.99 for your first order. You can go to ambigain.com and use our code, which is PFMPOD, and there will be a hyperlink in the programme description. So don't say we don't give you anything. Yes. Dr. Malvina, thank you so much. That's so much to take on board. Mm-hmm. They're so useful. I would advise everyone to listen to this again and have a little notebook beside them or take notes on their phone.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.